This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
My name's Aaron, and I was homeless after experiencing a house fire at the age of 10. Back in 2011, we were living in a small town in Connecticut, in the Valley, so it's like a cluster of small towns, specifically Oxford. And we had moved there just a couple years prior. We were living in Ansonia, which isn't too far off. It's all just kind of one big cluster down there. And it wasn't exactly like a safe neighborhood, so we were trying to get out of there. We experienced kind of like a lot of violence within the neighborhood we were living in. So we moved to Oxford, and I don't think we were there for more than like 2 years tops. And we had the house fire on January 10th of 2011. It was a really weird time. So we had the house fire, and then we were homeless for just shy of a year following then. I was in fifth grade, and it was just like a very, everyone always says like it was just like an average time, like an average day. And I just got dismissed early, and I thought it was kind of strange just because that doesn't happen. And when I got called down to the office, my mom was there, and she back then used to work days. My dad would work nights, so I knew something was off. It was like the middle of the day. Why is she getting me? And I kind of just kept asking like, hey, girl, like what's going on? This is really weird. And she just kept saying, like, I love you. Like, I love you so much.
And like, this is all, like, at school in the office.
Yeah, like, okay. As she's, like, signing me out. And I'm, like, something's like, wrong. This is so yeah. weird. And then we go outside, and we're using my grandma's car. So her mom's mom, my grandma's car. And my dad was in it. And I can't remember if I picked up, we picked up my sister first. Or if they got me first, that one kind of gets twisted up. Because she remembers being in the car when I get picked up, and I remember her not being in there. So we kind of have a little, get spotty.
Yeah.
But I remember them just being like, Sophie, like our dog, our Sophie's okay. Like everything's good with her. Like she's fine. And they just kept telling us like all these other things except like what was actually happening. So it was very like confusing. Like I thought someone was in an accident or like the dog was hurt. And then they just explained that the house had caught on fire. Essentially my dad explained it as like a very small like fire in the garage, like nothing big, like the fire department's still there, we're gonna go to your grandma's house. She lives in Seymour, which is again just like tied to where we were living, so like the next town over. We were gonna stay at her condo until we just got it sorted, and I just thought, okay, we're gonna be there for like a night or two, like a small fire in the garage, like what's that mean?
And they probably too, like, because you were still young.
Right,
so
I was like 10.
How much can you really explain? But
right, yeah. Exactly. So I was just not grasping it. And I was like, okay, it's so like, when are we going to go home? And then they were just kind of like, no, like, that's just not happening. I didn't know how severe it was until we got to the condo. My uncle was watching us, my mom's brother. And he actually showed us pictures of what was happening. So my parents had to go back and deal with this. So we just got dropped off there. He was showing us pictures, and we were just like, Jesus Christ. Like, it was the whole... I mean, like, a house is, like, a rectangle. Like, two full sides of it were just, like, black and charred. And there was, like, the car was in the driveway. And it was all rusted up and messed up and stuff.
So it ruined the car, too.
Yeah, the car is actually what caught on fire. So we didn't know. Basically, what had happened was, and I found this out later. I don't really know exactly when. But my dad had come home because he worked nights. So it was just him and my dog during the day. And then my mom worked. My sister and I were in school. And... he came home from the gym, and he parked in the garage, as was normal, and he explained it to me so many times, and I still, like, not a car girly, not a mechanic, so I'm not really sure. I couldn't reiterate it, but something was faulty within the gas line, and it leaked where it shouldn't, and because the car was still hot and, like, had just been on, something just combusted, and just, like, jeez. Some freak, like, accident. So the
that
car...
That is so scary.
Yeah, the car just, like, blew up in the garage. Not, like, blew up, but, like, just combusted. Close up, yeah. Like, it was just insane. We had like an alarm system at the time, and it wasn't going off. Like, the smoke alarms or anything weren't going on. My dog was just barking at the door, he said, like, a lot, and like was just really freaking out. So when he went down to check it out, the garage was just full of smoke. And by the time he found like an extinguisher, it was just like, get out of the house. He called 911. And I mean, it was really, by the time they got there, most of the damage to the house is smoke and water damage. So the fire didn't really escape too much, but the whole house was just done. Like, there was just too much smoke damage, water damage to do anything to it. And down the road, it ended up being gutted and totally redone, which is why we were out of the home for so long. But yeah, that night we stayed at my grandma's. It's like the memory from that point on is very spotty, like that whole year. We stayed there, I think, for about a week. I only remember the first like day or two because my grandma had to find somewhere else to stay. My uncle did so that my family could move into this like 2-room condo.
Wow.
For just like a week.
Yeah.
Until we found somewhere else to stay. But we were immediately getting like donations in like from that night, like from neighbors and stuff. And it was still just all very weird because as my sister was what, 7 or 8, I was 10, we just weren't under, like, no matter how it was explained, we just weren't understanding like the severity or like the long-term implications of what we were about to like endure.
I think too, when you're that young, like even for myself looking back, when, you know, like even like losing a parent at that age, it's kind of like you don't process what is actually happening like years later. Then you're like, wow, that was really fucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like if it happened now, it would be like way more traumatic. But you know, and even then it is. But I think that our little brains, they don't know how to grasp what's going on.
Yeah, I had no idea. And I'll talk about it too. Like I had no idea how it was like affecting me or would affect me like in that.
Right. Like, and even as you child, grow up too, like it, like,
yeah,
trauma's crazy. It shows up in weird ways.
It's fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were getting donations and stuff in, and I actually remember getting close. I was, like, so excited because we were not wealthy. So I was getting donations in, and they were nicer than the clothes, like, I actually had. So I was, like, slay. Like,
wait, so did you guys lose everything?
Yeah, so.
Like, your clothes, furniture, like, all of it?
Yeah, so when. It's, like, weird. So there was a big gap between the fire happening and them actually starting the rebuild. It took, like, 4 to 6 months, okay, like, around that time. So in that time, the house was just sitting there, like, everything as it was. So my dad would, throughout those months, go into the house and, scavenge for anything he could save. And I think we really were only able to get, like, some clothes. And it was kind of, like, very smoke damaged anyway. Yeah. And, like, even after they went to the dry cleaners, like, I still remember how they smell after, right, and it was just not it. We mostly were able to save photographs, but other than that, it was, like, and, like, whatever was in, like, a safe we might have had. But it was pretty much, like, clothes on your back type of situation. And so after that first week, we moved into a hotel, and that's where we, like, stayed for the rest of the year. But going back to school was so weird. Like, we literally just went back the next day. Like, nothing kind of happened. But everyone at the school and the whole town knew about it.
Right.
It was a very small town. I mean, word travels really quick. And I got dropped off a little early just because I wasn't on the bus. And they sent me to the guidance counselor. And I was just like, this is so weird, guys. Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to go to school. And every teacher, whether I, like, knew them or didn't know them, like, staff member that I just, like, passed along the way, like, they were just, like, consoling me and, like, sharing, like, I don't know, like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, da-da-da-da. And I was just, like, okay. Like, I had no, I, like, it was just so confusing for me. I had no idea why, right, they were doing that or why they were trying to offer, like, any type of comfort toward me because I, it wasn't, like, a thing in my head yet. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't realize still, like, what was happening. And so I went to the guidance counselor. I remember she was just, like, it just felt so weird. Like, she was just staring at me, like, waiting for me to, like, talk about how I felt and, like, how I was feeling. And, I mean, that's really all we talked about. That's all I can remember her really asking me about. And I was just like, I'm good. Like, can I go back to class? And it didn't really hit me how the situation was being perceived by everyone else and, like, how severe it really was to, like, everyone else on the outside until I got back into class. And it was dead silent. And I remember walking in, and as I came in through the door and, like, walked to my seat, it was just, like, everyone turned and, like, was just following me with their eyes, and it was dead silent until I sat down, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, quiet, and that's all I even remember from that.
And I feel like that's how it was, like, back, I mean, I remember when I was younger, like, I feel like if anything happened to, like, any of the students, it was like a thing that yes. I feel like they told the whole school.
And it was just such gossip and everyone yeah. was just like has to
And
like,
I feel like maybe they did it to try to help.
Right.
But it just put more, I mean, once again, when you're that young and then you're telling other kids and then the other kids know, like no right. one knows how to
right.
handle that.
And we're all 10. So like, we're yeah. all like, asked, like they're either just like, okay, that's
or cool. staring.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
And like, yeah. Cause I remember like, even if I would hear anything back in elementary school, of something just that stared. Happened, it's like, you feel bad, but how do you react?
Right. Exactly.
You know?
And I've tried thinking about that too, because a lot of the memory of that year is really spotty, like how my friends reacted and like how like we even talked about it, and I don't even remember those types of conversations, but I had like two very close friends that were there for me and very supportive, but didn't make me feel like ostracized the way other people did, because you kind of had like a label now, right? Like you're like, you had the fire, like you're the homeless girl, you're this, you're that. Yeah,
it's the girl whose house burned
literally
down,
exactly yeah. And they just never made me feel like that. They would give me like their old clothes, like old things, and they wouldn't ever make me feel like it was like charity, like how everyone else was. So shout out to them. Shout out Hannah. Hannah and Sam, shout out. But yeah, they were really cool. Hannah also, this is later down the line, but so I was in fifth grade when this happened, and my teacher was a really good support. He also kind of made me feel comforted without feeling like too weird about it. Like he would just kind of get me on my own time and ask me how I was doing. And he was just like there if I needed to talk to someone. And him and my friend Hannah worked together to, like, you know, like those Scholastic book fairs, and
yes.
you get like the little magazines and circle mm-hmm. which ones. They went sick and got me like a whole stack of books. And they just like so nonchalantly were like, yeah, like we got you this.
Right.
And it was like, it meant so much to me. And like, I still like think about that a lot. And I cherish that. That meant the world to me at the time. And they just did it in such a way where, again, it wasn't like this is charity. Like, they're just like, here you go. I think, yeah, after that, after we stayed at my grandma's, I don't really remember what school was looking like. I can't really remember other than just, like, little events. And it got more normal as the year went on, because it was January, so we still had until, June. So I feel like the rest of the school year went normal. I remember my teacher saying, like, oh, don't worry about, like, homework or, like, extras things. And, of course, my mom was like, no, you're doing your fucking homework. Like, she didn't want us to get any type of special treatment from it. And I didn't want special treatment from it either, as I started to understand like what was actually going on, like how it was being perceived. So yeah, after that first week, we moved into a hotel in Shelton, which isn't too far off. It's like 20 minutes. At the time, it was like super inconvenient, because it's like you just want to be around your friends. And when you're living that far, it's 20 minutes, but when you're dealing with everything my parents had to deal with, it's not easy or feasible to be like dropping your kids off for summer parties or for just like extra little things or staying after school for an event or whatever it was. So it was like a very isolating experience. We also weren't allowed to have, my parents didn't want us to have anyone over at the hotel. It was like a two-room hotel room that we were staying in. It was like when you walked in, it was like a kitchenette, living room combo thing. And then there was like a backish area, and that was like where my parents were, like a little room there. And then there was like a loft upstairs, and that's where the second bed was. So it was like fairly big, but we squeezed into like, we had nothing, and we were still like bursting at the seams there. Like it was very tight.
Right.
We had our dog too. And we were able to look over like the loft into the room. So it was kind of just like one big opening. Like it wasn't really private. It was very tight. My sister and I shared a bed for the whole year, and that was something. It just wasn't comfortable like at all.
Yeah.
And just like a lot of fighting. I mean, we were going through like a very sudden, very traumatic event. And I mean, like two sisters, I mean, we were already fighting before this. So we were just fighting more. It's weird because like your family is the only one that's going through this, and they're kind of the only ones that can understand. But at the same time, it's like, you just want to get the fuck away from them. Like I respectfully remember being so fed up. Like I just wanted my space. I wanted my room. I wanted my friends. I wanted my time. Like I was so over the hotel life. We were there for so long. I like experienced like going into middle school like homeless, and like my first slumber party like homeless, and not like having like doing all these like fun things and not having somewhere to go back to and feel like comfort. It was like a very, I feel like I was just floating around kind
like
of.
You didn't have a home.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just didn't have like that base where you could just come.
Stability.
And just, yeah, yeah. It was just, I felt like I was just floating in between like school and then here, and maybe a slumber party if I was lucky. I was trying to get out of there as much as I could. And then I felt bad too, because my sister was young. So she wasn't at the age where she was kind of going out like that. So if I left, she was there by herself. So I felt a lot of guilt for that too, and like wanting to stay back, but also like needing to just get out of there.
I think too, something that I feel like I'm sure you realized as you got older, and even something that like that's a fear of mine, like house fires. I will literally have so many nightmares about it. Like even if it's like the house next door, just because like I think too, like, I mean, obviously my animals and everything, those are like always what matters most. Right. But I don't think a lot of people even think about how traumatic it can be to have all of this stuff that we look at as ours.
Yeah.
Whether it's even just clothes or pots and pans, but like, those are our things. Yes. And then to have it just in a second gone, and then you're left with nothing. Like, you almost in a sense lose yourself, because I think a lot of people identify with their items and with their things. And if you have all of that taken, it's like you're almost starting fresh. And it's like you also didn't have the means to just go and be like, oh, it's fine. Like, let me just go buy and replace everything. It's like you're starting fresh, but then you with nothing.
Exactly. We starting fresh with nothing is a good way to put it. And then, yeah, it's weird too, because like a lot of the stuff we were getting in at first was all like donations and charity and stuff. And it's just so awkward because, I mean, it was just like one of those very like cliche, like, you don't know what it's like until it happens to you, obviously. And yeah, just like the whole, like the whole charity thing is something that felt very weird. We were always raised like we were the ones giving, and now that we were the ones like getting, it was just like such like a strange flip, because it literally just happened overnight like that.
I think too, as like as a kid, even just like looking back on my personal experiences, I think that when you're young and you have this, you have that happen, and then people are just like giving to you, like you said, like, and it's not like, of course it's nice, but it does feel like a sense of charity.
Yeah.
And I feel like for a kid that can make you feel like uncomfortable or embarrassed. And especially like you said, like if you're going to these slumber parties and it's like, oh, well they have things still, right, they have a house. Like I can imagine that that was a feeling of like, not embarrassed, just sadness.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it was definitely sad and like embarrassing. Like I didn't like the feeling of like people looking at me and feeling pitiful,
right?
Even though I was young, like you could definitely feel that, even if you don't know how to put that into words. And like I said, like there were some friends, some people that like just knew how to be there without it being awkward, and then there was obviously just people who didn't. Like, how do you, I wouldn't even know to this day, and I went through it, like how do you be there for someone? Everyone needs something different. The town ended up putting together like a charity dinner too at one of the like local restaurants, and that was like another eye-opener for me of like, again, just how people were looking at my family and how, I don't know, it just felt like we were like a big charity case in that. And it was just, I'm very grateful for everyone that came together, and I still am, and I was. But I looked at it as like, oh, people are coming together and like just doing something nice. And then I remember my mom being like, you need to go to like every single person here and like say thank you. Like every person that comes in, like you say thank you. And I was like, that's weird. Like just because I was 10, I was like, they're choosing to come here. I don't know. And it just, yeah, it made me feel like I had to, I don't know, present in a different way and kind of put on that like facade of like, okay, like I'll be grown. Like it was growing up very quickly for me, like worrying about how other people were going to feel when I was like going through like just like some crazy ass shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, I mean, we lived in the hotel for quite some time. A lot of the memories are spotty. And even as I rack over them, sometimes it's hard to tell even like when the memories fall into place. And sometimes I literally have to go based on, well, we were swimming in a pool, so that must have been summertime. Like, because we were just there for so long. I had a goal. So my birthday's in November and my family's birthdays are all April and June. And I had a goal of I wanted to be back in the home for my birthday because I knew we were going to be there for theirs. And my birthday is the 8th of November and we moved back the 22nd of November. And I was so fucking mad.
Yeah. And so the plan was to just have the house basically redone and to go back into that house, like your old house. Okay.
The most affordable option, I guess, with how the insurance played into it, was to just stay at like the hotel for a while. And like, I would do that now if I had to. I would go with what's cheapest because we already had nothing. I think looking back, it probably would have been better to try to get somewhere bigger. But again, it's like you do what you
do. Right.
You fucking can. Like,
and it took 4 to 6 months, you said, right?
Yeah. So we moved into the hotel, I want to say a week after the fire. That first week we were at my grandparents and we were in the hotel from January to November.
Okay.
So we were there the whole time. We were in the hotel, same hotel, but we had to move around a couple of times because they were like renovating and doing stuff. So even then it's like we're settled and then they're like, okay, you have to move out in 2 days to this one. And then that happens again.
So it was you, your sister, your mom, and your dad.
Yeah.
And it was what? Just like the two beds and like one bathroom?
Yeah. So in the loft, it was like a little half bath. So we kind of had like our own, like my sister and I, but still like her and I shared it.
Yeah. Like and imagine living, it's like living in a hotel with your family, which is what it was. Yeah. So it's, that's something you can maybe tolerate for a weekend.
Oh my God. We can't even, we can't even do like family trips now. Like, right. We love each other, but it's just like, I think we're so.
It's hot. That's a lot.
Fucking over it. Like, yeah. Yeah. It was a lot. I don't really remember, we didn't starve, but like, I don't really remember having like food, a lot of food in the house. Like we weren't cooking dinner there. We were eating, I would say like we were eating breakfast and dinner mostly like at the hotel, like buffets that they do like for free.
Was your dog there too?
Yeah, that was a pet friendly thing. Yeah, no, she was good. She was there.
She probably loved it.
She was so spoiled. She was like the only dog that was like allowed in the lobby. Because I mean, we were like, she probably loved
all you guys being so close.
Yeah, she was like, this is great, guys. Right. You should do this all the time. Mm-hmm. But she's, yeah, she was great. Yeah, no, we were there for a while. And then, I mean, we just kind of got used to like hotel life. I mean, just like, it was set up not like a average hotel, it was almost like condos. Mm-hmm. So there was maybe 10 buildings, so we were in building 9, then we got moved to 3 and then 10, so we moved around in there and we would just go off and wander like around the premises a lot. I mean, there's nothing to do other than like watch TV. I think my parents were able to, or someone in our family made it happen, we were able to get DSi XLs the week after the fire, so we thought we were like made. Like I was like, I have a DSi, guys, like I'm fine, take the house, I'll keep the DS. But so again, like even things like that, we were getting little thing, not little, like we were getting things like that to kind of mask about, like keep us distracted about what was going on. So
did your parents in that time like ever sit down with you guys and talk to you or not yet? It was kind of just like, let's keep moving forward for right now.
The only time honestly I can remember them like sitting down to talk was my mom that like night that it happened and her being like, okay, so like we might have to stay like in a hotel like a year, like what do you guys think? And my sister and I like had no clue. We were so excited, like we were like, fuck yes, that sounds like a vacation, like we thought it was just gonna be so much fun.
But it was never kind of like a conversation of like, are you guys okay,
no,
type of thing. Okay.
And I don't really blame them for that. Right. It's just kind of, that's kind of just how it was. I think they kind of look at it as like something, because I, sorry, I'm like stuttering.
No, you're okay.
If I went through that now as an adult, it wouldn't carry, I don't think, the weight as it would as when I went through it then. So I don't think, and I don't blame them for not really being able to see it in that perspective.
Yeah.
Because at least when you're an adult, you have like, okay, this is what happened to your car. This is what you're, this is how long the insurance is going to take. Like we weren't getting that. And even if they were explaining that, like,
you wouldn't have understood it.
I don't know. Like, okay, you're telling me, all I'm hearing from that conversation is that, okay, it's going to be an extra 4 to 6 months. Like it doesn't really, the reasoning wasn't like strong enough to outweigh like the emotional kind of cost, I guess. And yeah, like even hotel life was just not it. Like we were eating like the buffet food, we were sharing the bed the whole time. The hotel actually, once the oven caught on fire while we were in there, and we had to like, I remember just grabbing my dog, my sister, and I was like, let's go, like round two, I guess. And we had to book it and like stuff like that happening. So it was just like a very, it was just very re-triggering, I guess, being in a place where people are in and out. We would become friends with people that were traveling. There was this one family that would come. I don't know if their dad traveled for business or if they just came to visit family or something, but we'd become friends with them and then they would like come and go. So it was just like a lot of coming and going on top of already losing like the whole house, losing everything. And so that was just like a very recurring theme in that year. And then I want to say in May, because it was like towards the end of the school year, I think we were kind of celebrating that. And my mom had actually told us that she was pregnant. And so that was kind of carrying, at least my sister, like, I don't, let me not speak for her. It was carrying me through, like, I have no problem staying in this hotel if that means, like, at the end of this, we get to go home. And now we also have, like a new family member. We found out she was pregnant. That was, like, such, like, a high point for us, at least for me.
So was this, you guys were still in the hotel at this point?
Yeah, okay. This was May. We had been there since January, so we were like a couple months in at this point, probably pretty used to it. We were getting ready for summer, which fucking sucked. I mean, like, summer already gets like kind of boring when you're a kid. Like, you only do so much.
Yeah.
We were stuck in the hotel, but it was also the first time we ever had AC, so it was like,
wow, yeah. You got some positives in
there. Yeah, I gotta look for the positives and everything. But, and we had, like, the pool and stuff, so it was cool, but it was boring. Like, it was just very boring. And a lot of chores we ended up doing, like a lot of things get out of the house involved going in, like either visiting the house itself and like meeting contractors or insurance people or whatever adult stuff, like while my sister and I just played and did whatever, or going to like furniture stores and trying to plan out what furniture we're gonna have, like how we're gonna finance it, and just
wait, that's not cheap.
No, and just figuring out what insurance is gonna cover, what it's not.
Do you know if insurance gave you guys like any type of help, like for new furniture, anything like that, or was it, or was the insurance to like help rebuild the house?
I think it was more to rebuild, and okay. It probably covered. So going back a little, the first couple months we spent so much time going, and we called it, I think, just like the list. We had to make a claims list. Oh, sorry, I might be a little too far back. We were making a claims list, and we had to literally either go into the house and find it or just remember off the top of our heads and write down every single thing we owned.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
And find it, and either we or insurance had to like basically price it out so they could see how much we lost in like a lump sum.
Got it. Okay,
and then
that makes sense.
Cover that.
Wow.
And then anything really besides that, I think, was out of pocket. And it was like an old house from the 70s, so to modernize it and everything. And
right, I was gonna say they probably will cover what you guys had, but
and
it's
that's
like,
it.
Right, and nowadays it's like you're not gonna find.
Came and make houses like that anymore.
No.
Like,
and you're not gonna find like even like a couch. Like if you want a new couch, you're not gonna find.
That shit came from my grandma's house. Right, like it's like you're not getting that back.
$1,000. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like right, unless you get something that is from like a secondhand store or something like that, you can't get anything new cheap.
So we went more broke basically trying to like upgrade our home to where it needed to be, and not even to like get extra things to like splurge, like literally just to
get what was
needed. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time doing the claims list, and I went back into the house before they gutted it one time, and I still don't know how I feel about that. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm glad I did it, but it was like extremely traumatizing.
Really,
seeing my house like that, it literally looked like a haunted house. Like everything was black, everything was charred. It was the middle of winter, so like the toilets were frozen. Like anything water was frozen. It was just not on. It was cold. It was like an abandoned house. The furniture was still there, and everything was water damage, smoke damage. Everything was black and charred.
Plus, like I'm sure you had a lot of memories.
Yeah, I was like, I was looking at all my stuff that was just like destroyed, and the one moment like I always remember is going into my room. I collected Webkinz back then. Mm-hmm. I had like 30 of those. And I remember they were in like decent condition. Like if they just got cleaned up, like could have kept them.
Right.
Or at least a decent amount. And we just didn't have the space. And my dad was like, you could pick one to bring back. And that like to this day still gets me. Like that shit gets me so upset. Yeah. And just like the loss of things too, and like wanting things for yourself, I think. Maybe I'll talk about that later. But just like the wanting things for yourself and just like not being able to literally see what's yours and take it or fix it. You just have to like kind of keep pushing.
Yeah.
Like on to the next. We got Webkinz and stuff afterwards and I didn't even fucking want them. Like I literally didn't want them. I thought they were garbage. Like I wanted mine.
Yeah. And I think in a way too, like at that time in your life, that was something you collected and like it was special to you.
Right.
So losing that.
Right, that's
like
my
the value isn't the same. If it's
exactly.
Just, yeah, it's like there's definitely, I don't think people realize this, but like there are things that can't be replaced.
Yeah.
And I think it's more of a mental thing than the actual physical value.
Right, for sure. And I still have like anything that we were able to save from the fire, like toys or pictures, like I still keep.
Yeah.
But yeah, we spent a lot of that summer, I mean, just doing like once the claims list was done, I believe that's when insurance kind of kicked in and was able to like start doing their part. So after those four months or six months, it was somewhere like that. After the list was done, they started to gut the house. So I think the frame was like literally like that. That's all that was there. And then we just kind of built it up from then. And yeah, everything was good until about like the summertime. I think it was August. We had found out my mother miscarried And she was pretty far into the pregnancy. I want to say like 5 months. Mm. And that was my, I mean, aside from the fire, because I, at this point, didn't look at the fire as like loss. I just thought it was like, that was the fire. Because again, I'm 10. Like, I didn't realize like it was loss. Yeah. Like, I was just like, okay, it's like a fire. Like, I have new things. Like, it wasn't hitting yet. And it really didn't until like years later that it was like a loss. But yeah, the miscarriage fucked us up. That was my first introduction to like the loss of a family member, because at that point we had like names picked out, we knew it was a girl, we were planning. When we went to the house, what used to be my room, because it was like a 3-bedroom house, was getting planned out and fitted up to be like a nursery, and I was going to share a room with my other sister. Like, we were very in deep, everyone in the family knew, like, it was like a whole thing.
Also, I think, like you said, that was something that you clung on to.
Yeah.
It got you through it.
It did.
And then that was taken away. So yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
That, like, I mean, obviously the fire was bad, but that on top of it, that's when like a lot of like the trauma started, like symptoms started showing. I remember from like literally that night that we found out on, like my sleep was fucked up. Like, I wasn't able to sleep at night, and my sister had really bad sleep as well. It's like embarrassing, but I started to like pick out like my eyelashes and like my hair and stuff. Like, I was very like anxious.
That's called something.
It's like trick.
Yeah.
Something like
that. I think somebody might come on the show about it.
Yeah. So yeah. I was doing that for a while.
I don't know if they say, like, I guess is it some sort of like coping mechanism?
I've heard, and I don't know how correct this is, but it's almost like an OCD type thing, okay, where it's like a compulsion. To me, it was like a self-soothing, but I felt very like, I don't even know how it started. Like, I probably literally felt like, oh, like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know. But it just started happening. I wasn't eating right. Like, I was dissociating a lot. I remember telling my teacher, like, I can't focus. Like, I'm like, not here. And I didn't really get any help from that. They were kind of like, okay, like, you can go talk to guidance. And it's like, I told her the same thing. And she's like, okay, well, you keep talking. Like, you know, you can always talk to me. And it's like, well, I am. And I just wasn't really getting the help. I also... no one really in my family, like, I don't really know if they really picked up on it. And if they did, it was probably just like they just really wouldn't notice it. Like, I remember once my mom noticed the whole like eyelash thing, and she was just like, oh, okay. It was just kind of like that. And I probably at the time didn't care, because I was probably just like, okay, like, let me do my thing. But yeah, looking back, it was just like there was like a lot going on that I was like, okay, like, that's like, these are really obvious symptoms of trauma that I'm kind of surprised like no one picked up on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember too, we grew up religious, and this was like a really weird time for me, like spiritually, where I was 10. So it's like whatever concept of God you have at that point in religion. We were raised Catholic, Roman Catholic. And I was turning, I guess, to like prayer a lot, because it's like, who do you talk to? Like, yeah. And we always believed in like guardian angels and all that. So I would pray a lot. And I remember I would always pray for before we found out the gender of the baby, I wanted a brother. So I'd always pray for a boy. And when we found out it was a girl, I was a little like, darn, but like, whatever, yeah. Like, who cares? Like, it's a baby. And then not too soon after, like, my mom miscarried. And I remember being like, that was my fault. I asked for something and I wasn't grateful. Like, that was my fault. And so that started like a lot of, like, that started like a very weird relationship with me and like my religion. And I remember the day after we found out my mom miscarried, she had to go in for surgery and make sure she was set. My grandma watched us, and I remember my dad and my grandma had made these points, and they both said them very differently. Like, maybe this was just supposed to happen. Like, maybe if this baby was born, like, it would, like, something bad would have been, like, there would have been something wrong, or just something, like, worse than the pain of, like, losing the baby now. Like, all in God's plan type thing.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. And so I took it as like, okay, God wanted this to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I just took it very like, that's what you're saying to me. Like, I took it very literally. And so that also started an issue where, even though it's God and everyone could think what they want, it was like, to me, God at that point was like some, like a diary. Like, I could just talk to, like, if I can't sleep or if I just, and it felt like a relief to me. And after that point too, I felt like I couldn't turn to religion. I felt like I couldn't really turn to my parents. I mean, my mom was like going through it. Like, we were all just in mourning very differently. And it's like, how I can't even go to my room to cry. Like, I'm crying in front of you guys all the time. And it's just like, how much of this can we like put up with, and how much of it can we tolerate before it's just like too much? Like, we just didn't have like a proper way to mourn.
Right.
And after my mom like went in for surgery and everything, like, we just never talked about it like ever again. And I never really got that closure. And so that messed me up for a while, like kind of trying to come to terms with that and trying to make sense of that. Because to me, that felt like a person, that felt like something tangible that I was very much holding on to. And now we just didn't have it. And now we just never talked about it. And that's also where a lot of like dissociative feelings came, where I just thought like I was just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like this, all these things were happening, the fire, we had moved into a hotel, the baby, all these like losses and changes were happening, and no one was taking the time to like dumb it down, or not even dumb it down, but like sit and just talk with me and like walk us through it on a level we would understand. And so I felt like I was just floating in between like events or like places or like scenarios, and I just didn't feel like connected to myself. Like, I felt like I was just very dissociative, and I feel like that's why I don't remember a lot of like the specific day-to-day memories of living there, or like of what we did after whatever happened. And that's something too, like, to this day, like, I still very much struggle with. Like, I was talking to like friends before this, like, I feel like I'm gonna come on here and talk about like some bad dream I had, because that's how like removed you become, or I've become from it. And I've gone over it so many times in my head that it just doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
But like, the only reason I know it is because people will talk about it, or like because of the like just long-term like traumatic implications, I guess, of it. So yeah, I mean, I don't remember too much of the day-to-day hotel life other than just what it was. I mean, we got up, we went to school. My parents made every effort to keep any sense of normalcy we had. So they would wake up extra early just to drop us off at the bus stop so we could ride the bus with our friends. And just like things like that, that I definitely noticed and appreciated, but at the time, you don't really, like, how do you word that? And yeah, that was, so we lost the baby August to November. I mean, I just kind of don't really remember a lot of it. I know I started middle school. I remember starting my first day of like sixth grade there, and that was so ass, because sixth grade art, like, middle school is so gross already that, like, right. Just being homeless like did not help at all. And then it started to become closer to moving in. The nursery was no longer going to be a thing, so I was going to go back in there, which was like another just like this fucking like this sh- like if like it felt like it shouldn't be mine, like, right. Again, I'm somewhere where I feel like this isn't mine. The hotel wasn't mine, my grandma's place wasn't mine, this room doesn't feel like mine. It didn't even feel like, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So we moved back. We're getting ready to. I remember, like, the first night back, it was so anticlimactic. Like, I remember I was, like, waiting, like, almost a whole year to move back in.
It was your birthday wish.
I know, right? Yeah. It was, like, finally, like, I got to do it. And, like, I was, like, why do I still feel, like, awful? Like, I felt like it would just, like, everything would be, like, relieved. Like, okay, like, back to normal. But I just felt like worse. Like, I was like, I just want like my house back. Like, it didn't feel like my house. And to this day, like, I still don't feel connected with like that building. Like, it, I don't like being there. Mm-hmm. And not even in any way that's like, it's a beautiful home. And my parents did everything they can and have to maintain it and keep it how it was and make sure we had everything we needed and then some. And they absolutely have. I can't say they haven't. But just like the not being able to work through those traumas either with them or with someone, even within myself, like, it was just like there was just a huge disconnect, and I still feel that huge disconnect with the like house itself. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like if I could have it go back to how it was like before.
Like, I think too, we naturally like get this feeling of like eeriness, like if something bad happens anywhere,
mm-hmm.
It's hard. I mean, that's why a lot of people, if somebody passed, like if a really close loved one passes away in a house that you lived in, people move out
because they can't handle it.
Like, it's almost like it's just this weird vibe that's around it. It's like something you can't really shake.
It felt weird. Yeah, definitely. It was just not right.
I think it takes a certain kind of person to just blow things off.
Yeah.
Like, there are people like that
where
you can literally just keep it pushing. And like, maybe they just are people that are better at not dealing with things.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
But I think that most people would feel that way.
Yeah.
Like the way that you did.
I think my parents, they've each gone through like a lot, mm-hmm. like, as children, I mean, everyone does, But I think they thought of this, I guess, in comparison to what else they've been through, as not...
They were older, too.
Exactly. So like, yeah. They had that experience, but as a kid, you don't. So yeah. I absolutely understand why they felt and pushed the way they did, because now as an adult, I would do the same.
Right.
I mean...
And they had kids, so it's like they can't break down and stop. You can't
laugh when you have kids. Right. Exactly. I remember thinking, like... I remember once, I was just like... I feel like I was in the car, and... I don't know how it got brought up, but we were talking about how we've never seen like our dad cry. And I was like, I want to see you cry. Like, as just like a kid, like mm-hmm. It wasn't even like supposed to be weird. Like, I was just genuinely like, I've never seen this man cry. I've seen everyone else do it. Like, it's your turn. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. And he got so mad. Like, he was really? So like, you don't say that to anyone. Like, oh my God. So we just had like a very, like, you take your hit and you keep pushing. Like, mm-hmm. So that's kind of the attitude we have. And I think that's helpful. That attitude has helped me in a lot of other situations. But in this one, when you're 10 and this is, like, the first biggest thing you've ever gone through and it's a lot happening in such a short amount of time, I could not do that. Like, I was, like, and no child can really do that. And if they are, there's a lot going on underneath mm-hmm. the surface. And there was. When we moved back, we actually had to go back to the hotel because there was something wrong with the water heater. So again, just like small things like that, like the moving around a lot was just very like triggering. And it's like, okay, I'm back in the house. Now we're moving back. It's just like there was no stability still. And I don't really remember too much of like the first weeks, I guess, of moving back, other than we probably just acted like nothing happened. We were just like so grateful. And I was, to have my house back and to have nicer, newer things than what we left it with. But that's when a lot of like my self-isolation started. I was in sixth grade. Every day from school, I would come home and just like shut myself in my room and I wouldn't talk to anyone for like hours. My dad would go to work not too soon after I got home. Like, I just wouldn't want to talk to him. Like, my mom would come home and I wouldn't want to talk to her. My sister would want, I feel so bad to this day. My sister would want to play with me like all the time. Like, she would just want to be with me and I was just like, I can't. Like, I don't want to see anyone. And, like, I wouldn't even do anything, like, in my room. Like, I would literally, like, sometimes I would, most of the time, like, I was literally just, like, sitting there, like, just listening to music or, like, just literally sitting there, like, just doing fucking nothing. I couldn't even tell you, like, what I thought about or what mentally was going on. Like, it was just, like, I was just clocked out. Yeah, and, like, the memory, it's weird how the memories are affected, like, by trauma, too. Because, like, when everything was happening, I can remember every detail of everything. Even up until recently, like, there's some things you remember every single detail of, and then it's, like, gone the next day. Like, I've had a lot of issues with my memory and, like, just memory lapses of that year. Also, not being able to, like, it feels like I can't trust my memory because, like, some things I remember differently than how my sister does, but everyone always does. But it would just be, like, a lot of not being able to trust my own memory, too, and that just kind of messed with my head. I don't know. I just was like, I just did not have anyone to walk me through what was happening. So when you're left to your own like 10, 11 year old devices, it's like, what positive are you really going to get out of that? Like, I was really just like kind of spiraling in the trauma and not getting support or like a healthy outlet for it. And yeah, that's something that to this day, it still kind of affects me, especially like with COVID and everything that happened. I had to like leave campus and I ended up moving into the condo where I stay at now that we stayed at the week after the fire.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it's like my sister and I stay there. And while I'm grateful to have it, I'm still just like, it's still just so associated with that trauma and with like, it's like the in-between place. Like, yeah. I stayed at this condo in between the house fire and like or my house and the hotel. And even though I've been at the condo since like COVID started, I still feel like it's like my in-between place. So I can't feel like, I don't feel settled there.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you as healed as you could be from the trauma and what happened.
Right.
That place is what it is. You're mm-hmm. going to remember it for what it mm-hmm. is. So I think it would take probably you having a brand new, like, of your own
right.
home.
Right.
Where it feels like, okay, I can settle here. This is my home. And even then, like, there's a chance you'd still have the fear of like, well, or even it might be hard to the word isn't appreciate, but I think it would be hard to like allow yourself to take it all in because you might have that fear of like, oh, well, I could lose all this too in a second.
Exactly.
And that's a sad way to live. Right. And no one should live that way, but it's realistic. It happened to you. So absolutely. So it's unfortunate. It's like, even if you replace something and you feel a little bit more stability, you I don't want to say probably, hopefully you don't, but like you might still have that fear of,
yeah,
I could lose it.
Absolutely. You know? Definitely. And that's like a big part of like just the OCD that's kind of come from that. Not really doing like the eyelash thing anymore, but like the whole, like I'm still very like a picky person and just, I get very like if things aren't the way I envision it or need it to be, like it's like you're done. I'm going to start screaming. Like it's really like it's, I'll throw a whole tantrum. And it's embarrassing because I would like to think I've gone through something that's where I've had to be adaptable. So like I should be adaptable now. And I'm just, I'm not like I'm.
It shows up in different ways.
It does. Like, yeah. I hate change. I don't, it's hard to feel, like, settled and, like, this is mine. Like, this is, like, my place. Like you said, like, I keep thinking, like, once I have a place that's, like, in my name, like, this is mine, I'll feel so much better. But then again, it's, like.
Something I could come out in a different way.
It's just, like, it's, like, how I thought everything would be fine when I moved back in the house. If you don't deal with the emotional baggage of it, like, the house isn't going to mean shit. Like, you're always going to carry that with you.
And I do think. I think everybody should talk to somebody, and I always say this, whether it's actual therapy or just whatever works for you.
Yeah.
But once again, it's like you can do all the healing that you want, and I don't think that journey ever stops, which isn't a bad thing. But I just think naturally as humans, like we always find something that can be like a little bump in the road that makes us upset or makes us feel that trauma again. And I think that the trauma that happens to us, I hate saying it. I mean, it does happen for a reason, but I hate saying it happens for a reason because nobody deserves trauma.
Right.
But I think it does give us a little more clarity and reality. And I don't think it's the worst thing to kind of live knowing that you can lose anything.
Right.
Like, you don't want to spend every day thinking that way. But I do think it kind of helps you be more realistic and not live in this like la la land of you know, everything's great, because we live in a scary world and fucked up shit can happen. But I think it's just about coping with it and dealing with it and still finding like a healthy in between where you can live and be happy but still know there's a chance that something bad could happen, but we're not going to focus on that, you know what I mean?
There's definitely as many negatives as there have been. I feel like being able to not attach myself to like the future or like what could happen or couldn't happen, that's been very helpful.
It's important not to
come from this, because I mean, I know firsthand many a times like things could just change so quickly, like literally in a second, in a day, in a year. So I try not to put too much pressure on what's the next second, day, month, year, whatever going to look like for me, because no matter how much you plan it, like it's, you can't depend on that.
Yeah. And the attachment thing is a big problem. And I think too, like, I mean, even kind of what I said about like my nightmares and my dream, like about the house fires, that comes from like a sense of fear of losing things.
Exactly.
It's like, cause you feel this attachment of like, this is mine. I read this book once. I can't remember what it was called. Shit. What was it? I can't remember, but it was a good book. And it's hard, cause it's like, even though it's a good book and it makes sense, we can't really just read something and follow it.
Exactly.
But it was just saying how you should never identify with any object, whether it's a person or an animal. Like you can say that like, I have this, but it should never be looked at as yours, because when you lose it, it's going to be that much more painful.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's hard not
it
to.
It is hard.
Everybody wants to be like, this is mine, or I bought this, so it's mine.
But right.
It's like,
as an adult now, I still struggle, or not still, I think I've more come into it now that I have like adult money, but like hoarding. I don't want to say I'm a hoarder.
Yeah.
You could walk through the house, but I like definitely have a lot harder of a time letting go of things now, or feeling the need to like stock up on things just to have them. I don't travel lightly. You should see the trunk. I'm here for one night and this thing is packed up. Like even the bag I have now, it's like deodorant, toothbrush, like things
everything
I would need in case like I'm displaced or something. So things like that still carry. I mean, I've gone to therapy and it's been helpful. Just finding the right therapist is always the hardest part. I got, a lot of good therapy
and it's annoying,
stories. It
know?
Is. It's really
it's
frustrating.
Like, how many times do you want to tell your story?
Exactly. And every time, that's the hardest
it's
part.
It's a pain in the ass. I don't think people like.
It's so annoying. I'm about to just type it up and be like, just read it on your own time.
Right. Here's my story. Let's see if we hit it off.
Right?
And then if not, I'll be moving on
I
to
need,
the
like,
next.
A little resume or something to just switch it up.
Mm-hmm.
But therapy has been helpful. I did get diagnosed PTSD by every psychiatrist, therapist I've seen. The last one, she actually, not changed it, but she labeled it as CPTSD, which is like the complex post-traumatic.
Okay.
And it's basically when you've gone either through multiple things or something prolonged or a mix of the both. And I feel like that was super fitting for this type of situation, because it was just a not only such a long term, not a long, it was such a long period, but there's also like just multiple losses. So
yeah.
I've resonated a lot with that diagnosis. And it's, I mean, I check off like every box. Like every time like I go to get screened for it, mm-hmm. it's like literally every box. So it's been a long time dealing with it. I think the first time I got legitimately diagnosed, I was 16 or 17.
Okay.
And my mom was, like, she came into the room after the appointment and they explained the whole diagnosis. And I just remember her being like, really? Like afterwards, she was just like, really? Like,
mm-hmm.
like she just had no clue. And yeah, I mean, it's still something to this day. Like nightmares is something like I have something like that's something I struggle with pretty much like nightly. I've tried like medications for it and they just haven't really hit.
Yeah.
I am on an antidepressant now. That's also been something that's been really hard, is getting on like a good medication. I think that's something that would absolutely benefit me, and it's something that has. It's just like staying, remembering to take a pill is like really hard for yeah. me. And then just finding one, I don't know, just that just makes you feel like yourself and just makes you feel like,
doesn't have side effects or
right that makes sort. You yeah. yeah that doesn't make you feel like just disgusting or just like you're without your body or whatever right. But yeah, that's,
and I think your story too, it can resonate with so many people, because I even remember growing up and I was young, and I still, it's like little things will stick with you. I have a horrible memory now,
yeah,
but it's funny because little things you'll remember from yeah. when you're so young. And I remember when I was so young, there was a kid I knew. I don't even know if he went to my school, but I knew him from growing up. It might have even been from like kindergarten or first right. grade, something like when I was really young. But I knew his name. I knew who he was. And I think his family had a horrible house fire mm-hmm. and they might have lost everything. But like, I remember it. And once again, I don't remember what I thought as a kid. I knew right. it was scary,
right.
but it's – So it's, my point is I feel like whether there's people that have experienced that, or then if there's people in other places where there's been horrible storms and tornadoes that have just completely wrecked their house, or the
right.
floods. And
right.
it's like there's so many, unfortunately, so many different ways that something like this can happen, and all of your things can just be ripped from you.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not something that many people experience all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And to have everything just taken at once,
right.
it will take a toll.
Yeah.
And I just sure. feel like people – it's hard to realize, like you said, where that can come up down mm-hmm. the road. But it's like, it's interesting to hear that it's like the hoarding thing. It's like people,
yeah.
and there's people that have that hoarding, they hoard yeah. really bad. And it almost makes you wonder, like, if something happened that kind of went,
yeah.
caused that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It's, yeah, the way that things come up has definitely opened my eyes. And I'd like to hopefully think that it's made me more, I'm not a patient person, but more
me
patient
either.
With other. But I feel like I'm more patient with other people's like things, if that makes
yeah.
sense. In the sense of like, okay, like if I walk in your house and it's dirty as hell, I used to not have a house. Like I don't give a shit. Like it's
right.
just like stuff like that where it's like, or like, why are they why are they doing that thing? Or like, she's really picking a lot or doing whatever.
Like you're
it's
not like, as judgmental.
Yeah, yeah. You just kind of, you're like, you don't know
right.
what type of shit they've gone through, or just like how something they've gone through is still like impacting them to this day.
And I think that is definitely something. I think that what we go through, it definitely can help us in ways like that. But unfortunately, I feel like it doesn't always help us when we're alone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
we'll have it come out in other ways. And a lot of those times it's like, it might take therapy to kind of make you aware of, wow, I might do this
yeah.
because of what I've been through.
Yeah.
And it's so, we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Which is nuts. And the two might not even seem like they relate, but
right.
they do.
Yeah, no, therapy, therapy's been helpful, and just time. That one's
yeah.
like really annoying, and I know that time doesn't always heal, but time kind of allows for you to grow around it. And as time has gone on, it's been a decade. I remember when the 10 years hit of like the anniversary, I was so just like, are you fucking like,
I know time does. It's weird.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like, it sounds like a lot, 10 years, but
yeah.
sometimes it feels like, not that it was like yesterday, but it doesn't feel like it was 10 years.
It feels like I just woke up from that.
Right.
Like, I feel like that was just a dream, or sometimes it feels like a lifetime like ago. Like that was
yeah.
someone else's life.
Exactly.
Like, I don't even know
right.
who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too, because it happened at such a young age, and I'm only 23 now, and it was 10 when I happened, like that was half my life ago. So sometimes my life feels like before fire and after fire.
Yeah.
Where I like literally break it up into like who I was before then
different
and who
chapters.
I was after.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like my little Eras tour. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's just been, I don't know, it's been kind of just crazy the way, like, triggers or things, like, come up. Like, you'll be driving one day and you'll see something, you'll just, like, burst out into tears or just, like, ugly sob and heave mm-hmm. and need to, like, puke or something. Like, it's just.
Yeah. I think, too, obviously, thank God everybody was okay. Right. You know, when it wasn't worse.
Yeah, exactly.
And because I think there's, and I hate to view things that way, but you could always look at things like that. Yeah, of, yeah. Like, thank God, like, everyone's okay. Like, yeah. You know, and things like that. And obviously the circumstances weren't the best and they were shitty, but you got through it. And I think that I always tell my guests, too, the fact that you're able to go through something that obviously impacted you. And then now you're at a point that you can sit down and talk about it to a random stranger. Right. And then also to, a, like, on camera to yeah. whoever else is listening. That says a lot to me where you are in your journey. And I feel like that's nothing to just, like, shy away from. That's important. Yeah,
thank you.
And it, of course. And I think, too, I mean, hopefully, like, I always say to my guests, like, I hope that this experience, in a way, is, like, a part of the healing journey, yeah. too. Because it's like, okay, I get to sit down and basically spit it all out in detail, get it out there. And then it almost feels like, I feel like a weight is lifted in a way.
Yeah.
And obviously it's not, I wish I could fully heal everybody right. comes on. But no, I think that it's incredible and it takes a lot of strength and courage to sit down and sort through your feelings and say it without getting choked up or it's nerve wracking. It's yeah. like, it's a very vulnerable position. Like you're talking about years of feeling a certain way or multiple different ways to a random person.
Right.
So honestly, like I always say to people, like, you should be so proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Because it's not easy it. Yeah. to do. Really.
Yeah, for sure. It's not.
Yeah. And you traveled for it. Seriously.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you've done such a good job.
Thank you. Seriously, that's what I was hoping with this, because it's something I think about every day. And as time goes on, it's, like, not so much every day. It's, like, every other. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I'll literally be like, damn, like, I spent a whole week without thinking about that. And I'll just think about how crazy and how big of, like, a deal that is for me. And like I said, it's been over a decade. I'm just fucking over, like, I'm over it at this point. Yeah. Over it in the sense of I'm sick of having this, like, weight and this thought, like, yeah. always in my mind about this chapter. Like, I'm ready for it to, like, literally just be a chapter and just be mm-hmm. like pushing on to
the next.
And
I think you'll definitely get there. I think even when you're still in your 20s, you're still young in your brain. I mean, I know that they say, like, I think for women, it's like, our brain, like, doesn't fully mature until, like, 25 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because I didn't know that until I turned 25. And then when I did, I was like, this is weird.
Feel
like, my thoughts are different. I look at things differently. But I do think that you will hit a point where it's more of something that has happened, yeah. but it doesn't define you.
Yeah.
And but it takes time.
For sure.
A lot of time. I mean, you can – and like I said, we don't even realize it. We might think we're over it and then it pops up, or we might mm-hmm. think we're over it and then we realize we do this weird thing that's yeah. because of it. But it's all normal. I think it's just finding a place within yourself that you feel that peace
mm-hmm.
and that you can just accept it and
right.
be like, yeah, that's part of my journey, but I'm here now and I'm proud of where I am. And kind of, like I said, in a way, just look at it as, I know that anything bad can happen, but I also know that I can overcome anything.
Yeah.
You overcame it.
Right.
It might have sucked.
For sure.
But you got through it.
Did the thing. Yeah, definitely.
You know? So props to fucking you.
Thanks.